And we're holding on page 30 in Brachos Os Yud Tes. We learned previously a couple of things that Rav Oven by Rav Ada said in the name of Rav Yitzchak about davening, about Hashem's tefillin, and so forth. So now the Gemara brings another one. Amar Ravin by Rav Ada, Amar Rav Yitzchak, kol ha-rogel lovel basic neses, when a person regularly comes to shul, v'loi b'yom echad, and one day he doesn't show up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashal boy, Hashem asks about him, so to speak, like what's going on, what prevented this person from coming. In fact, Ben Yehoyada actually points out the word mashil is shoyo would mean that he asked. Mashil means he makes others ask. So it means Hashem like asks the malachim in order, then let's see. If it turns out that the guy did wrong, as the Gemara is going to say, then it arouses a kitrug on him. And if not, then it arouses rachmin for him. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Mi vachem yirei Hashem shemea b'kol avdei. Who among you is the one who fears Hashem, who listens to the sound, who listens to the voice of his servant? Where he went in darkness, and there's no light for him. So in Pashat Pshat, it means, in other words, the Pasuk is talking about a person who fears Hashem and does the mitzvahs, but the poor guy is suffering yisurim. But the Gemara is dashing over here that it means he's usually a yirei Hashem. He usually fears Hashem and comes to shul. He listens to the koil avdo. He listens to the chazan, who is oved, the avoda of the koin gadol. A person who davens by the amud, keep this in mind for yourself, Marsha says, is doing like the avoda of the koin gadol. So shemea b'koil avdo. So the person who comes to shul and listens to the chazan is listening to the sound of the one who serves Hashem. And now all of a sudden he went in a derech choshech. He went in a way where he's not, where there's no light, where there's a dvar hodoshus. Meaning, as opposed to, as the Gemara is going to say, if he went for a dvar mitzvah, then fine. Eitz Yosef, in fact, points out the Loshon HaShaholach HaSheichim suggests that he actually woke up early in the morning when it's still dark outside and went to do something else. So what's he not doing? So what's he doing not in the shul? So it depends. Im ledvar mitzvah holach, if he wasn't in shul because he was occupied with a mitzvah, good noigaloi, then there will be light for him. Because after all, the mitzvah itself is a light, ne mitzvah, a Torah or. Im ledvar hodoshus holach, but if he went for something optional, a noigaloi, then there's no light for him. Meaning, Marsha says that the person might think to himself, after all, there's a shtickel mitzvah in providing parnasa for my family. But no, because as the pasuk continues, my time, yivtach b'shem Hashem, the same pasuk continues, he should trust in the name of Hashem, meaning my timer. Why is Hashem holding it against him that he didn't come to shul? He does have to make parnasa for his family. Mishum dehavalo livtoyach b'shem Hashem, v'lo batach, because he should have had bitochen in Hashem that he could daven first and then be able to go about his business. V'loy bata, and in fact, Marsha refers to later on in the Masechta, we have the Chassidim Arishonim, that they would make their tefillah the ikar and their business a tofel, and they were matzliach in both. So this person is not doing that. This person thinks that his business, his parnosa, is more important, and therefore he's going to miss davening because of that. V'loy bata, so he failed to have that level of betochen and Hashem, and therefore Hashem holds that against him. There is, by the way, an idea that Mefoshim talk about, Bechlal. I mean, all of this we're saying is if the person regularly comes to shul. Because, in other words, if the person is not yet on that level, he's not yet regularly coming to shul anyway, so then, so to speak, Hashem doesn't hold it against him so much. But once he's already achieved the level that he's coming regularly to shul, and now he's falling down on that, then the Eibishter holds that against him. So the Gemara continues in this vein. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, b'shar shaKadosh Baruch Hu bo levei sakneses, or bivei sakneses, Hashem comes to the shul, v'loy matza ba asara, and he doesn't find a minion over there, miyad hu koyes, then right away Hashem is angry. Now, Marsha explains, we said before in the Gemara, we learned a few days ago in the Gemara, that when you have 10 people over there, shchina shruya b'nehem, and we said that Hashem actually comes ahead of them. We said the mila of 10 over 3 is that when there's 3, only when they sit down and start the din Torah does the shchina join them, whereas when there's 10, then Hashem comes ahead. So now, though, Hashem is saying, I'm already, but where are they? They Hashem expects them to come at a certain time, and they're not showing up. So miyadu koyas, so right away Hashem is angry about that. The Meiri says, I mean, you know, as usual, like, what do we mean? Hashem is angry. Hashem doesn't have human emotions. It means, in other words, that it's like Gemara's way of expressing that sibur is very distant from Hashem. They've distanced themselves from Hashem, and therefore they're going to have to work much harder to get back to, yeah. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Madua Bosi Ve'enish, Hashem says, why have I come and there was no man? Karosi Ve'en Ona, I called out, no one's answering. So Hashem, Marsha says, specifically, the Ve'en Ish, there's no, then we're missing one person. We got nine people over here, but we're missing one to make the minion. So what's going on over here? This is a chisarin shalo yuchal le'imanais. So therefore, Hashem is upset about that.
Even though there is really a minion, that he's not coming. No.
So we're saying there isn't a minion because the fact is this person didn't come. Like with him, there would have been a minion. Without him, there's only nine. So therefore, Hashem is angry about that. Why did that person or any other person, for that matter, not make an effort to come? And there would have been a minion, and there would have been Asheras Hashchina.
If there
was a minion, then Hashem's Shechina rests there, so then we're good. Then Hashem is happy with that. So that's something else. There's two different things we're saying. Number one, there's a person who regularly comes to shul, and this time he doesn't because he was away on business. Then we're saying, ain no galo, there's no light for him. Now we're saying a separate thing, that if there's not a minion b'chlal, then Hashem is angry at that sibur. Yeah.
Not every guy that
tried
to travel around, just if the 10 need to come to the minion.
Right, but we're saying there's also...
many years ago, small towns, that it was exactly the 10.
Well, yeah, but the fact is, we're also saying, the first statement we were saying was that the person regularly comes to shul for davening, and now he doesn't come because he's busy with something else. So it depends. We said if he's busy with a dvar mitzvah, good, but if he's busy with something else, then what's he doing?
Sounds like it's a non-ending cycle, because once somebody does enroll in a minyan, he can't venture out.
That means, in other words, yeah, that's pretty much what it means. Yeah, you know, there's an interesting idea that the Balei HaMusar talk about, in particular, the Michtav Meliyahu talks about something called the Nekudas HaBechira. The idea being, in any aspect of Yiddishkeit, you have different people are holding on different levels. You take, let's say, for example, as far as kashrus. So we know there's many different degrees and many different levels in kashrus. So let's say you have a person who is just starting out. Is it reasonable that he should be holding back from and only having Cholav Yisrael and Pas Yisrael, for example? No, he's barely on that level yet. Let's first get him to the level where he's not eating actually. Is he going to go to McDonald's or is he going to not? You know, to something like Pas Yisrael, for example, or better Hechsherim versus worse one. I don't need any of that. All I want is to be close with the Eibishter. So then, therefore, he's showing that he's on the level of Avraham Avinu, who brought Achdus of Elokus into the world. So that's one idea. There's many, many different ideas. Also, there's an idea that, for example, on a practical level, a person has kaveya makom l'tfilasa, then it means his kavana will be greater, because when a person davens in different places and different times, he doesn't always have good kavana. And then there's many other ideas of what the Maila of it is. This is brought in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, that a person has to have a makom kavua for his tefillah. And actually, though, what it says is, okay, you know, within four amos is still considered the same makom. You can't be mitzamsim. Uchshem Nes, and such a person, when he passes away, omrim olav or loy, people say about him, a chosid, a onav, or a onav, a chosid, mitamidav shalav Ram Avinu. Where is the onav? Where is the chosid who just passed away? Now he's gone from the world, who was one of the talmidim of Avraham Avinu. So he showed that he acts like Avraham, and therefore he gets that compliment. Ben Yehoyada says a cute vote on it. He says, you think about it, when a person starts out in shul when he's younger, he doesn't have one of the important seats, like in the Mizrach Vant or something. He has one of the cheaper seats, someplace in the back of the shul. Now, as he gets older and becomes more and more mechubad in the community, they might want to offer him a place on the Mizrach Vant, but he doesn't, because he wants to be kevei amakom letfilasei. Therefore, he's showing he really is an anav, and therefore we praise him like that. Oimrimala means the other people who know about what he did, and they compliment him for that. The Rashba gives an explanation over here that also the idea is that so we know when a person is davening, he has to have tremendous kavana. So therefore, when he sets aside one particular place for davening, then he's showing with that he wants to have a greater yira for the Eibishter. He doesn't need to look for the most important place. It shows also, other Mephoshim talk about it, also means, for example, like this, if a person considers davening a burden, he'll want to get rid of it as fast as possible. So he'll just daven in any old place as long as I'm done with it. Whereas when he's Kaveh Makam Lutfilasa, he shows that he takes it seriously. He shows he has a yira for the Eibishter. So therefore, he deserves to be called a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu menolan dekavam makom. In turn, how do we know that Avraham Avinu did that? Just did vayashkim Avraham baboker al makom asher omad shamas pnei Hashem. The pasuk says so. Avraham one day davened for Sodom. The next day after Sodom was destroyed, he got up there again to daven early in the morning to daven for Lot's safety, and he stood. The pasuk says in the same place where he had davened the previous day. So we see that he was kaveh makom letfilasei. So two times is enough, apparently, yeah. But Pashtus, what it means is that was the same place where other times when he needed to daven, he had stood there also. Again, there's many other different explanations about what's so special about that. Iyun Yaakov says a point. We know we have in Pirkei Avos, there's Tamid of Shal Avraham Avinu and Tamid of Shal Bilam Arasha. So what happened? Bilam every time went to a different place. L'chon no akachach, let me take you to a different place and see if we can find a place where a person doesn't do that. He acts with a tmimus towards the Eibishter, so then therefore he deserves to be called a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. In fact, the Rif says over here, the vort is, it's not even when we say that people say on him, a chosid, a onav, it's not even, people don't necessarily know for a fact that he was a chosid or an onav, but just the very fact alone that he showed that he follows Avraham Avinu in the skvius for davening gives us a reason to think that he must have been like Avraham Avinu in other ways as well. And the Gemara continues, ve'en amida ela tefila. The word asha omad sham means that he davened there. As we find, the pasuk says Pinchas stood up and daven on behalf of the Jewish people. So we see that the word Amad means to stand and daven. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Yechon Meshum Rav Shimon Yechoy, Kol HaKevei HaMokom L'Tfilosei, a person who sets up a fixed place for his davening, like what we were saying, Oivav Noiflam Tachtav, his enemy, he'll be able to defeat his enemies. His enemies will fall underneath him. Shenemar, the pasuk says Hashem. This is part of a long nevuah that Hashem sends through God Hachoze to David. David wanted to build the Bais Mikdash. Hashem tells him, "You're not going to. Shlomo is going to." But Hashem tells David of the promise that you're going to have a dynasty. You're going to have Shlomo is going to be the king after you, and generations after him, and the Jewish people are going to live securely in Eretz Yisrael. And the expression of the pasuk is "V'samti mokem la'ami Yisrael." Hashem says, "I will make a place for my people Yisrael, or Natativ, I will plant them there, the Shochan Tachtav, they will dwell in their place securely, V'lo Yugaz Oid, they won't have to tremble or be angry anymore, V'lo Yesifu, B'nei Avlo, La'anoise, Kasher B'Rishayna, and people who treat them unfairly, like the various Goyim around Eretz Yisrael, will not continue to be able to oppress them like they used to at first." So the point is that we're doubting Mokim, La'ami Yisrael, we're saying that he made a place. The simple meaning of the pasuk is Hashem is making a place for the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. But we're but at least what Hashem accomplished was that it won't be l'chaloisai, that the tefillah of the Jewish people prevents that, at least that we're not wiped out completely by the goyim. There is, if you look in there, if you look in the pasuk over there, you have, I think, a kriuk siv l'valoisai and l'chaloisai. So l'valoisai means to wear them out, but in the same idea, with the goyim may cause us a lot of a tremendous amount of trouble, but they'll never be able to completely wear us down and wipe us out. That's what I'm saying. Gemara continues. When a person is leaving shul, he should not take large steps. And Omer Abaya loyamorin el lemeipak. And Abaya says that's only talking about when he's leaving shul. Av lemeyal, when it comes to coming to shul, kol shekein derehitna or mitzvah lemirha. Then it's a mitzvah to run to shul. Shenema, the pasuk is v'neido nirdefol adas Hashem. Let us know and let us chase. In other words, run to know Hashem. So going to shul, to run to shul is a mitzvah. Now, all the Mefarshim ask, Rav Huna said, Hayotzi mebeis haknesses. So what is Abaya adding by the words, Layamon el mepa? So Marsha says it means, in other words, let's say he can be going to shul, he can be leaving the shul for different purposes. He could be leaving the shul because he's going about his business affairs, or it could be that he's going out of the shul to go to the Beis Medrash. Then fine, it's a good thing to run because then he's running to the Beis Medrash. But so therefore, Abaya is stressing that it means Hayotze when he's leaving. In other words, he's done with shul and he's done with Inyonik Dusha for now. Hakosev points out another point of it also, that you would have thought that maybe also when a person is coming to shul, that maybe if he runs to shul, then it's like he's showing as if he's eager to be rid of davening. He wants to get there as fast as possible and get davening over and done with and leave. So therefore, maybe he shouldn't. And Abaya is saying that's not so. A couple of them before should bring up the point that Gemara mentions elsewhere, that b'chlal, a person walks psiagasa, then it takes away from his eyesight. So we're saying over here that still, when he's going to shul, then he's a shliach mitzvah. So then it's a good thing. Then it's a good thing for him to run.
That wine from Adullam
restores that, right? There is also a sicha in Chelik Yudzayin, a sicha in Pirkei Avos. When you have three different things that Chazal say about running for a mitzvah. We have over here that the mitzvah to run the shul. You have in Pirkei Avos ben azay hebe rotz ledvar mitzvah, and you have Yehuda ben Tema hebe rotz katzvi. So the Rebbe talks about over there about each one of them, what they signify in a person's avoda. In particular, for ours over here, the Rebbe mentions also the Alter Rebbe when he brings this halacha in Shulchan Aruch. He mentions the pasuk that we said over here, v'neido nirdefa, where usually the Alter Rebbe doesn't bring that. Usually, he just says the halacha. He doesn't give the pasuk that we learn it from. And so he explains, based on something that Tzemach Tzedek explains, that the two deis in this pasuk, v'neida and ladas, are das elyon and das tachton. So even when the person is not yet even on the level of das tachton, let alone das elyon, still let him run to shul, showing with that the eagerness that he's going to, the ava that he's going to do the mitzvah with, and eventually it'll bring him up to the level of some form of das. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Zvid, or Rav Zera, Meiresh originally ki have a chazinu lehu l'rabbanan dekarati l'pirka b'shabasa. When I saw originally the Chachamim were running to the drosha on Shabbos, Amina, I thought kamachal l'rabbanan Shabbos. I thought the Chachamim being machal Shabbos, because you're not supposed to walk psia gasa on Shabbos. It's not the covered dick for Shabbos. Kiven the shmeite the shmeina lahad the amr of tarfin or tanchum amr of shoban levi la olam yoretz odim the var mitzvah or var halach afilu b'shabbos, so that you should run even on Shabbos. And this is actually brought in Shulchan Aruch, that even though you're not supposed to take psia gasa or run or jump or leap or whatever on Shabbos, but for a var mitzvah you're allowed to, and it's fact it's a mitzvah too. So shenema, as the pasuk says, after Hashem yochu ka'ari yishag, as the pasuk says, they will follow Hashem like a lion roaring, which means Marisha says, you think about it, if you hear a lion roaring, you're gonna run as fast as possible. And obviously, would even on Shabbos, it's Pikuach Nefesh. The old joke has it, some one person asks the other, what would you do if you meet up with a lion? What steps would you take if you meet a lion? And the other one says, the biggest steps I could. Yeah. So therefore, you would do that even on Shabbos. So by the same token, you should run for a Dvar Mitzvah on Shabbos. So Rav Zvid or Rav Seder says, now I also ran. I once saw a vote on that, by the way. Why does he have to mention this point? Is because like this, all this time he was always criticizing the Chachamim. So now all of a sudden, the next time he's doing it, people are likely to say, such a hypocrite. He was criticizing them all the time and he's doing the same thing. But he's saying, I don't care about that. Now that I found out what the halacha is, I don't care. I'll yevish mitnam, I'll dig him, and I'm going to do what now I know is right. So the Gemara continues in this vein. Amar Abzera, Agra the Pirka Riata, the schar, that the main schar that a person gets for going to the Pirka, to this drosha, is the running there. Because, in other words, Rashi says most people who come to these drushas may not understand what they're hearing. But the very fact that they run there itself is a mile. Marsha says another point on it. Fakir, the chachamim who come there, they already know the halachas that are being darshan over there. They don't need to be told them. So nevertheless, the fact that they run to come to it itself is the schar. Akosif says over here that what it may also mean, it's not saying that the ikir schar is that, it's saying that also the schar is that. You would think the schar is mainly for the listening, but you should know that the running there is also a great schar. In fact, the Oruch says a point on it. He says the vort is when a person runs to the pirka, it's he doesn't want to be late, he doesn't want to miss any part of it. Therefore, he gets a special schar for that. Anyway, Omar Abaya, so similarly, Abaya says in the same vein, Agra the Kala Duchka, the schar for the Kala, which is the Shabbos before Yom Tov, when everybody would gather together and they would darshan the halachas of the Yom Tov, the main schar for that is Duchka, is the fact that it's so crowded and you don't care and you come there anyway, that you get a schar for that. Amar Rava, Agra the Shmaita Svara, the reward for learning a statement in Torah, is the svara, is that you work hard on understanding it. The fact that you understand it itself is something, but the fact that you work hard on understanding it, that horavanya itself is the great thing for which you get a schar. Rapapa agra de betamya shikusa, and Rapapa says in the same way, when you have a besa oval, betamya means a besa oval, the main schar for that is the silence. So it means, for example, when you're going to be Menachem Oval, we know you're not allowed to say anything until the oval speaks up first. So you get a schar for that. It also means, some of the Mephoshim talk about over here, that it means, for example, when you're being shomer a mess, you can't say words of Torah then, because not the covered dick for the mess. So the schar you get then is for the being quiet out of the covered for the mess. Amr of Sheshes or Mazutra, Agru Tanmisa Tzidkasa, very appropriate for today. The schar for a tzedakah, for a tainus, is the tzedakah that you give. So Rashi explained the poor people were fasting also. You give them tzedakah, that way they have food, that way they're able to buy food, to break their fast. That's the main schar that you get for the tainus. Marsha says another point as well. Think of it. When you're fasting, it means you save money that day. You didn't have to buy food for that day. So now when you take that money and give it to tzedakah, then that's the real schar that you get. For that reason, they always used to, back when they used to have tainus shoris regularly about Mir Yehudi and about whatever else, they always used to say that you should give an appropriate amount to tzedakah corresponding to the value of three meals. And Omer of Sheshes, Agra de Hespeda Daluya. Rav Sheshes says the main schar of a Hesped is the lifting up, that people lift up their voices and cry and cry and bewail the mess. That's the main schar of it. And Omer of Ashi, Agra de Behilula Mili, the main schar at a wedding is the words that you speak and you say things to be Mesameach, Chosen and Kala. That's the biggest schar from that. There is also a vote from the Ramami Fano on that, who says that Hilula over here also means the Hilula of a Tzaddik. When the main thing you accomplish by Hilula is to talk about the Tzaddik, talk about his Torah, talk about Mises, whatever, and that's the main style. Yomi Mashiach Ugo'ola for Gimel Tishrei. Tzum Gedalia. Now we know there's opinions that he was actually killed on Rosh Hashanah, but we can't fast on Rosh Hashanah, and in fact we have mitzvah to eat and drink and be the Simcha, so therefore it's pushed off. So now that I've talked about that, in that case, it comes out Tzum Gedalia to begin with was set up as something nidcha. So we have much more than a sinas koyach of how that fast will be completely cancelled v'moseh Mashiach, when we know that all the fasts will become Yom Tov v'Moedim. And we see especially that Eber went on to say the third of Tishrei, which is connected with the third Geula and the third Beis Hamikdash, and the Lashon HaPasuk, Yichayinim Yemayim, Bayom HaShlishi, Yikimenu V'Nichya Lefanu, which, as Metzudas David explains, that you have, we're asking Hashem, send us a refuah from the two periods of Golus, and then the third period of the Geula HaSidah, then Hashem will raise us up and we'll live before Hashem forever. And in fact, Marsha in Rosh Hashanah explains, when it talks about over there in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah about the fast of Tzum Gedalia, Marsha says that actually the word Bayom HaShlishi does in fact refer to Tzum Gedalia specifically. Okay. I guess, not sure if we have time for halacha. Okay, well, we're beginning hilchos macholos asuras. If you find blood, if you find blood in eggs, it's also sometimes the whole egg is also. So therefore, you got to check eggs before you cook anything with them. And by the way, the only a person over bar bas mitzvah has neamonus to check it. So therefore, you can't have your little kids crack open eggs unless you unless you're there supervising.